Mics are hot.
Do you want to build a snow? I mean, a tree house.
Screwed it up.
Do you want to build a tree house?
Oh, my.
Oh, no. Do you want to build a fort, Jared?
Sure. Okay. Let's do it.
All right.
And gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me is my pizza-loving, fort-building, game-creating friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we're sitting down at the feature table as we take a look at Fort, designed by Grant Rodiak, artwork created by Kyle Farron, and published by Letter Games.
In Fort, players are building a majestic, glorious, spacious, fictitious, or most realistic treehouse / fort in their neighborhood. Players will be inviting all of their lovely neighborhood friends all over to play in their fort or help build their fort to increase their reputation in the neighborhood. The player who has the most points at the end, or whoever has the best fort, or whoever is the most prestigious player.
I think whoever is the best friend.
Oh. Whoever has the best fort / is the best friend.
I think having the best fort makes you the best friend.
Well, there you go. Let's build a treehouse / fort / friends. Let's build friends
together.
Let's
build friends together.
Let's build friends together. Let's review Fort.
How exciting. Ian.
There's too much unknown with this it does explain it, but not enough for me to fully comprehend how this neighborhood or this town of friends interact.
I think this game, just the theme of it, perfectly encapsulates what every 90s kid wanted.
Right.
Like, it was on every cartoon that this is how kids operated. That they all just ran around from house to house on different people's forts, making different creations and water fights and whatever. And I don't know that that's actually how it happens all over the place.
And they ate pizza.
And they ate pizza.
And they bought toys, or they use toys.
They have lots of toys.
They collect toys.
To make other things.
Using
their imagination.
Was it all their imagination, or was it real?
Does it matter?
I don't know.
It's all real.
Well, anyway,
we have several questions, Ian.
This
one really took us down memory lane a little bit.
Yes.
We'll start with an easy one.
Okay.
What's your favorite pizza?
Oh, my favorite pizza.
We'll just say toppings, not like a pizza place or anything. Yeah.
I think like the most traditional, like meat lovers is probably.
Nice. It's a solid choice.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
Let me do, pepperoni, sausage, and probably bacon.
Not the full works, just the three.
No, I like, if it's a meat lover, yeah, I guess what is it missing? Like a Italian sausage or...
Yeah, I feel like there's like 5 or 6 or 7 meats that they throw on a meat pizza.
No, I don't like, I mean, I'll eat it, but I think I like a pepperoni, sausage, and bacon.
Okay.
But Hawaiian is a close second for me. I always like...
I feel like Hawaiian's a good staple for you. Like, you always lean to that if I ask you, like, what kind
but
of pizza
it, like,
do you
as
want?
If I'm going favorite, though, I think straight up pepperoni, it has to be on it for me to like if it's a true favorite.
Sure. Well, if you know me at all, you know that stuffed crust is a priority of all pizza that we have.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's a staple in the pizza diet, if I do say so myself. I'm a big fan of just straight pepperoni. I feel like it's a classic move.
Yeah, it is.
I've evolved as I've become an adult. Pepperoni and jalapeno is one of my favorites.
It's a solid choice.
But a sleeper pick for me is the chicken and bacon ranch.
That's pretty
pizza.
Good.
I always love it whenever I have that.
It's got to be done right.
It does.
But it's good.
I think it's very good when it's done right.
I agree.
Anyways, all right, what do you got?
Did you ever have your own treehouse or build your own treehouse?
Unfortunately, I can't say that I did.
Okay.
The closest we got, we helped my dad build this massive deck in the house that we grew up in.
Okay.
It was really cool. Like, it had multiple places that we used for what I'm going to talk about in a minute to go hide and stuff like that, but it wasn't a fort. Okay. It was just a really immaculate deck.
Gotcha. My dad built a treehouse, actually. Okay. And it had kind of like two levels. So it was actually attached to the tree on one side. So you'd climb up the ladder and then you were up in the tree. And then the swing set would, basically there was a big cross beam that the swing set was under. Then there was a tower on the other side away from the tree.
Very cool.
So you could stand on the tree house and then look across to the tower.
Okay.
And then the swings were like in between. So it was pretty
dope. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. As a kid, you're like, okay, you're just all up in it. But then what was really cool is like, there was like a massive forest right behind it.
Yeah.
So then you would build stuff right behind that too. So it was like this big area. It was very cool.
That's awesome. Did you have, and this is our last question, did you have a favorite like neighborhood game, activity, something like that, that you and your friends played growing up?
Well, there was many.
Yeah.
There was many.
I mean, there are many, but like there's one in particular that I always think about. Well, no, that's, man, you start thinking about it and there's multiple.
So what we would do in this area that we built is, I don't even know what we called it or whatever, but basically we would just go in and we built a village out of this.
Okay.
So then our neighbor would come over and we would start building on top of the treehouse, or not on top, but in next to the treehouse in the woods.
We have to have our expansion.
Yeah. We have to build out our lovely town.
Sure.
And so we would build our own like houses. And so you would, you know, collect limbs and trees and stuff and leaves and build an actual like house for yourself.
Yep.
And then we used something as currency. I'm trying to remember what it was, like acorns or something. So you'd use acorns as currency. And if you needed a branch from somebody, you would like pay them in acorns.
That's awesome.
And negotiate.
That's so cool.
So yeah, we had a whole economy.
Nice. That's so fun. I'll mention two really quick. So the first one is that we played so much Foursquare. I mean, we had bylaws and all these, we had tournaments. Like there was so much that went into Foursquare.
That's pretty cool.
So that was a really big thing for us that we played a lot.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we did a lot as a neighborhood, like there were a lot of kids in our neighborhood that were around my age.
Mm-hmm.
And so all through the spring, summer, and fall, we would play a game called Jailbreak. And so
I think I know what this game is.
Yeah.
But
so it's like hide and seek, but if you get found, you get captured and you have to go back to, you know, they take you back to jail or whatever. Yep. And then someone else who has not been captured can run in and scream, Jailbreak.
Yep.
And then they all disperse and you have to go find them again. That's right. And
do they have to like touch him and then yell it, or do they just have to get close to the jail?
They have to get into the jail.
Okay.
Yep. So once they get into the jail, they can yell it. Well, we played this game religiously and the whole neighborhood knew about it and not everybody was happy about it, but you know, what are you going to do? But
are we talking like 10, 20?
Oh, there were nights where it was like 25 kids.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was serious.
Yeah.
And you'd have multiple people you'd have multiple people hiding.
Oh, wow.
Like it got serious.
That's wild.
You had it going. Like there was a point where I was on multiple streets where you were just traversing the neighborhood kind of thing. It got out of control at the end. It really was. And you know, you're always playing at night, so you can't see each other. So everyone's trying to sleep and it's just like, I mean, I feel like there were neighborhood meetings about it, about these hoodlums.
Man,
it funny. It was epic, man.
It was funny.
So cool.
So this was, so the treehouse situation was after we moved into a house that we only had like one true neighbor.
Okay.
But I was like really little, like I would have been 6 or 7. Yeah. We was similar to that. We lived in a cul-de-sac. So there was six houses that all had, they were all homeschooled kids.
Oh, nice.
With like a couple of public school kids mixed in. but we were neighbors with homeschooled kids, and I was homeschooled, so it was like, you know, 1 p.m. and we're just, you know, playing something out there. So yeah, it was similar. There were a couple times where we did hit, it was like a good group, like yeah. 10, 15, 20.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like we all went to school together. We yeah. were all, you know, same public school or whatever. Yeah. And so we all, you know, I don't think we could ever recreate what that was. Like, it was just so good.
It's magical.
It is.
It's a magical tree house and slash fort.
Yeah. We still talk about stories about how, do you remember when we did, you know, whatever?
And yeah.
So very cool.
That is cool.
Okay.
Well, there's that.
We're going to talk about Fort today. So I'll kind of run through a quick overview of how this game plays, and then we'll talk about it. So Fort is a deck building game where the goal is to have the most points at the end of the game. And there are a few different ways to score points. You're going to be able to score points based on how well you have built your fort. You're going to score points throughout the game based on certain cards that you play. And then also, once you reach certain fort levels, you get different things that change the game. Much in the same way that one kid in your friend group always wanted to make up rules to the game. Probably Ian, if we're being honest.
I was a rules follower, so.
Were you?
I didn't make up new rules.
Okay.
All the other kids made up real, you know, fake rules.
Sure, sure, sure. So there's those extra made up rules which give only you points, because why would we make up a rule that would get somebody else points?
Of course.
You know? So there's a few different ways there that you can score your points. And as you're going throughout the game, you're collecting friends, which act as your cards. You're adding both toys and pizza to your inventory. You have a backpack where you can store stuff to make sure that nobody can take it, and to have extra room as well. And then, of course, every good fort needs a lookout. And so you can collect cards that get moved from your deck into this lookout area and become permanent resources for you as you're playing the game. So a turn plays over 5 different steps. After your first turn, whatever cards you don't play go in front of you into a section that's called the yard. And the yard is where other players can take one of your friends, because if your friends are in the yard, that means you're not playing with them, which means they're ready to go play something else.
They want to go somewhere else. They want to go play with their other friends.
There's only so many people in this world that are going to be loyal to you forever, no matter what. That's sound advice that I need you to understand, Ian.
You always have loyal friends, but
it's very rare.
Rare, and there's very few of them.
That's right. That's right. So then, when you've discarded your yard, whatever was not recruited to be taken to other players, then you get to play one of your card. Each card has a suit on it. It has an ability that everybody at the table could do if they have the right resources for it. And then it has a personal ability that just you can do. And that can be stacked by adding more cards of the same suit and then enhancing the ability. Once you've finished your ability, those abilities can be a wide variety of things, whether it's collecting resources or adding people to that lookout or upgrading your fort or whatever it may be. Then, once you've played your card, you recruit a card. Again, that can be from somebody else's yard, or you can head on down to the local playground and take a look and see if there's some new kid that you want to add to your group.
Get the new kid on the block.
That's right. Everybody loves the new kid on the block, right?
Yeah, he's the coolest. Yeah.
So then you discard any played cards as well as any cards in your hand that are labeled as your best friends, because your best friends will never leave you.
Never.
At least that's the narrative, at least. I can't speak to that in real life.
I mean.
But as a kid, this is a true statement.
Yes, your best friends would never, you'll see them for the rest of your life when you're 10.
The rest of your child.
No, when you're 10.
Yeah.
You think that you will never be best friends.
Even
with
younger. Like my kids are like 8 and 6, and they're like, they're going to be best friends.
Best friends forever.
And I'm like, yeah, okay.
They'll never leave you, Jared. Don't lie to them.
I'm moving on. Then, like I was talking about earlier, whatever cards you did not play this turn, they go into the yard and become susceptible to be recruited into somebody else's play area. And then you draw 5 new cards from your deck to be ready for the next round. Play will continue like this until somebody has advanced their fort all the way up to level 5, or if somebody has crossed over 25 points, you'll finish up the round and then whoever has the most points wins. We're not going to go into all the nitty-gritty, but I think that gives you a decent idea of what a turn looks like, and so you can take that as we go through this discussion. So let's head back over to the table, and we'll discuss.
Well, just like your friends in real life, they'll never leave you. Except until the new kid on the block has a cool toy. And they want to go play with them.
We're going to keep positive vibes on the podcast tonight, Ian. We don't need to get into our sob stories, okay?
Yeah. So I would like to explain just a couple things.
I'm here to follow your lead, best friend.
Yeah, exactly. This game is designed by Letter Games.
It is. Your favorite.
Yes. Yeah. One of my favorite companies. I think
it's okay for you to admit that.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to say that a game is my favorite game and then not have
the publisher's your favorite.
Right, but I'm saying my favorite game is not from them.
That's okay.
So then
I think Stonemaier is my favorite publisher and they don't house my favorite game.
Okay. As long as we make those ground, it's the ground rules.
I understand.
They're imagined.
We might make up new rules later.
Okay.
But
all right. Well, for the ground rules,
we're spinning in circles.
They are my favorite game company. They're excellent. And so one, if I think we've mentioned their games before, but you have Root, Oath, Ahoy.
I want to try that one.
Yeah. And then you have Arx, which we've mentioned on this podcast.
You've drooled over.
There was, Vast, which is their first game. Is that
yep.
Right?
That's okay. Right.
And then am I missing one? Fort. I mean, Fort. that's the games. There's not another one currently.
Okay. They need to come up with another 4-letter name.
They will.
What happens if they don't? Like, does that...
No, they will. That's part of their thing. That's their spiel.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what if you run out of good 4-letter words? Is that just the end of letter?
They'll find something. Like, there's so many 4-letter words, Jared. Like, it's pretty endless. You could find something.
What if they don't fit? Or what if we're just going to do best? Is best going to be a game?
Best. Vast. Best. Yes, exactly that. Anyway. Okay,
sorry.
I don't know where we're going. I'm like,
we'll cut that.
All of their games... I think all of Letter Games are very good. I think some of them are absolutely fantastic. I haven't played all of them. I would like to get some others to the table.
We're going
to
go on a journey and learn some more games in Letter Universe.
It'll be a vast journey. But we'll take it to the roots. But anyway, so Kyle Farron is the artist on all of Letter Games stuff. And I think it is so unique, one, that they consistently use the same artist.
Sure.
But the art that he does, it is consistent. With it being consistent, it's still different in its own way per game. And the way it's presented, it feels like I went on this artistic journey with the creators themselves. And it brings... honestly, it brings some type of emotion and I don't know, it just brings a presence to each of their games and they're all different because I think Arx has this a little bit more, it's a little bit darker tone. It's kind of got this alien vibe. You kind of feel it's about conquering and pillaging, you know, people's territory where Root is this obviously woodland creatures. You have this very cute, they're cute, but they're you know, they're aggressive and daunting or they're, you know, and where Fort, the way I look at this is I kind of feel this childlike wonder that's experienced in through visualizing the cards and playing cards. You get this, like we were talking about at the beginning of this episode, is that childlike imagination and that fun experience.
Yeah.
And I feel that in this game particularly, and I'll stick to that, but you feel that in a lot of his art. I think it's really, really cool.
No, I would agree. I'm looking at his Instagram right now.
Yeah.
And I really like the playful creativity that he has across all of his artwork. You didn't get to meet him at Gen Con, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I might have seen him, but I didn't get to meet him.
Gotcha. Well, it's just a reason to go back, I suppose.
Yeah. Grant Rodik? How did you pronounce it?
Now you're making me question it.
Okay. No, I'm just... I want to say his name, right?
Grant Rodiek.
Okay.
That's what I probably said.
Cool.
When I listen to the recording later, I'll know.
Okay. So other pieces he's been on, was it Cry Havoc? He's part
no
of...
No kidding. He was not part
he's
of
He's the
Cry
designer
Havoc.
Of Cry Havoc.
What?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
Is that real?
Yeah. He's literally the main designer. There's other people, but he's the top. He's the main name.
I've met him then.
Oh, really?
He taught me Cry Havoc at Gen Con when it came out.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right. So quick story on Grant. I knew that I was going to like him because, I mean, everybody gets excited about their stuff, right?
Sure.
But like you could feel the passion that he was exhibiting as he taught his game. And like, as people would talk about different questions or ask strategy questions or whatever, like his face would just light up and it was just, you could tell like the love that he had poured into it. So I thought that was really cool.
That is cool. Like, man, that comes full circle. That's awesome. Those are his two main designs.
Nice.
The others, he has others, but those are the ones that are more well known. With all that though, like I mentioned, the art, that is one thing that drives me in all of letter games, and it just sticks here. So I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's really cute. I really do. I mean, I feel that way about all of, like you are saying, we haven't played all of letter games, but my main familiarity is with Fort and Root.
Mm.
We've played a little bit of Arcs. I don't know that I liked this art style as much in Arcs.
Arcs isn't like the cute version of it. It's
not. Yeah.
It's a very abstract alien vibe.
That's right. But I think for that like playful kid in the backyard playing some silly imagination, like building a fort, it's perfect.
I
think it's so good.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, no, I really like the art in this one a lot, for sure.
Yeah.
I do have a critique though, and this might be the earliest I've ever critiqued game.
We're starting now.
We're just going to go right into it.
Okay.
Because I think this was, you could have easily fixed this. Why don't all the cards have different names?
Mm.
That bugs me. Like the whole premise is centered around the idea of meeting new friends. Why do I have to meet Prince four different times?
Mm.
Whereas I could meet four different people that do something similar to Prince. Maybe it's the same card. I don't care about that. Just put a different name on it.
Right.
I'm just going to put it out there. That was a beef for me.
It was an overlook.
Yeah.
An oversight, overlook, whatever.
Overall, I love the artwork.
It was a lookout.
This is getting really bad. but I do want to go ahead and put it out there
it's a little disappointing.
Because the way we had it shuffled when we started playing, like we didn't have that experience for a little bit. And I was like, oh, this is so cool how they all have different names. And then they didn't. And I was just like, dang, like that bugged me.
I guess my counter to that.
Okay.
My counter to that is that it would be rare that those two cards are sitting on the table at the same exact time. And so that friend is not, at your fort, and he quickly moves to somebody else's fort between turns. And your best friend is in your deck, obviously.
But if the
theory is that you're recruiting your friends into your deck, then yes, I agree with you.
Especially since we've already had instances where multiple players have played the same card on the same turn or within the same round.
Sure. But again, so, if it's...
I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying the caveat. Counter to that argument.
I just think you could have...
No, you could. It's the same ability. You just change the name.
Yeah,
that's definitely been done and could have been done. No, I agree. I agree with you. I'm just saying...
It takes nothing away from the game.
For the theme-wise, it does...
Theme-wise,
you could argue that they're not exactly... You know, he was... You're for it on your turn. He's on my fort on my turn, and it's the same card.
I hear... I get it. He's a drifter. That's fine.
Your best friend stick with you.
I get what you're trying to say. I don't agree.
I got you.
All right. But with all that, we have spent enough time.
Yeah. So one thing I would like to touch on, you know, you mentioned there's some suits.
Yeah.
And I think they're all cute. And, you know, there's a squirt gun and a skateboard and a shovel and glue. Like, why is there glue? And then there's
books.
A crown. And I'm like.
No, the crown makes sense.
I guess. Yeah.
Well,
I
mean, the girl's playing princesses.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there's a book.
There's a book.
Which, maybe it's magical. Who knows?
Maybe.
Now, the main part of learning this game is learning the symbols. Now, I'm not going to knock it because you're learning a lot of symbols, but the player aid is great.
I love the player
aid. The player aid, it's like, yes, I have a question on what my card does, but literally I can figure it out in like, if it's like a little bit more challenging, maybe 30 seconds at the most.
Not even.
Like not even most of the time. Unless it's one of these, like the bottom ones, the little trickier actions, you know, it's like, okay, add a copy of somebody's pack to your stuff. So it, like you have to think through it. But yeah, I mean,
right.
Yeah, 10 to 30 seconds at the most if you had a question.
Player, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a fan.
And all the symbols are, they're a little bit more, you know, that kind of cutesy art, you know, they're not, it's not, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say there. It's just not, it's whimsical.
It is whimsical.
Whimsical.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
So it's like the hand is like, it reminds me of a big, like, blow up balloon hand. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
That it, you know, it's just not like a small hand. It's like this big balloon hand.
Sure.
Anyway. So, and then, yeah, the emojis that are here is, you know, it's all, yeah, whimsical. And so learning these is, you can do it in the first game easily,
mm-hmm.
but I, as you play the game, I still, even, a couple times in, I'm still just checking occasionally because I don't remember exactly, okay, yeah. What does that one do? Because there is a little subtlety in some of them. One of them has like the hand with the pack, which means you add a copy to your own, but then one of them has the hand in the pack, but like a little frown face, which means it's your opponent. So you just got to visualize it real quick. Okay, that's the one I'm playing.
You just double check, like you said, like it's not a big deal to have to check that. And I would say anything that felt tricky by like turn 4 of the first game, we're like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're in now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And I want to go over my thought process on the whole deck building as a whole. Is there anything you want to say before I...
About the deck building?
Just how it works and how I perceive it compared to like other deck builders.
Well, I don't want to steal your thunder, so
go ahead.
I'm hesitant
to... No, you go ahead, because I have...
You have thoughts.
I have a thought about it.
Okay.
Because I don't particularly love deck builders.
You do not.
Whatsoever.
Okay.
So I have to compare it to what I know.
Yeah.
And what I grew up playing. I did play a lot of deck builders. So I'm going to use that all as my information base here. So go ahead.
It's very interesting because I think that this idea of the kids that you don't play with becoming available for other players to take is such a fun and unique concept, both mechanically and thematically.
Yeah, it is.
Like you just don't usually have to think about in games, oh my, I'm not playing with these friends. Like that's just not usually a concern.
No, it's not many. Not many games
that's
like that.
But I really like that kind of plays into the deck building aspect. And the deck building it's definitely a big part of the game, don't get me wrong, but I like that you can focus a number of different ways in how you deck build.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can focus on one suit and really stack up that one ability, or you can kind of spread yourself out a little bit and give you lots of different options to be able to play on other people's turns.
Yeah.
I love, especially in a 3 and 4 player game, when I've got that unique spread of suits, because I know I'm going to get to do actions on other people's turns.
Yeah.
And having that action economy really is a lot of fun for me. And then I don't know. Like I just really enjoyed the deck building in this because it doesn't feel like a traditional Dominion kind of deck builder where mm-hmm. you just got all these choices in front of you and you keep buying the same cards. And that, I think that's part of what bugs me about the names. Like even though the cards are the same,
right,
just giving it that little bit of uniqueness to stay in the theme and keep not reminding me it's a deck builder, because it kind of blends in and you almost forget that it's a deck builder in a way.
Yeah.
So I really like the unique take that they've done here.
I mean, so obviously letter games always has this weird twist.
Yep.
I think that's kind of the main one here. I think there's other aspects, but I think that's like the big one for me of like,
okay,
this is what I'm gathering of like, this is where we're really changing it. It's kind of this fluid system. Anyway. So yes, I agree with all that you said, because I think it's an important part of the game that
yeah.
really makes this different. One, I don't like deck builders. So the main thing I don't like about deck builders is you're having to constantly focus on, well, I really, really like this card, but I'm not built up enough to be able to play it effectively
sure.
at all times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, this card's really, really strong. Well, I don't have any other cards that give me other actions yet, so I can't buy it. Or I'm just trying to get this card so that this other player doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. That can't happen in this, but it's like in other deck builders, like that's always the focus. You're like, you're always trying to build the engine instead of just playing what's fun.
Sure.
And I have an issue with that in many ways. Now, with this game, I feel like it is so fluid on the kids that you're bringing over to your hand mm-hmm. and your deck is it's constantly evolving. And usually in a deck builder, you buy cards or whatever the terminology is, and they get into your deck, and that's the cards you're stuck with. And later on in the game, you're like, okay, you can trash it or whatever. There's ways to get rid of them, but that's the deck that I'm slowly building. And it's really cool. It's a big engine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't really like that part. So in this, being able to have this engine slowly just be so fluid and different, and it's just constantly evolving.
Yeah, or devolving.
Or devolving. That's very true. Jared got rid of all my cards last game, so then my deck is just becoming like 8 cards, and his is like 25, so...
It was kind of funny.
But here, and I'll get to that, because I actually take that as a positive, and it's kind of funny. But anyway, is again, I'm playing cards, and I'm taking from the yard or the park, or from your yard, and I'm slowly... you know, getting some other kids that I'm interested in, inviting them over to my fort. And I'm building this system, like you're saying, you can do so many different ways of doing it. And I think they're all pretty viable mm-hmm. options. It's like you could, and I think this most recent game I had all glue. Like all I had was a glue suit.
Started grabbing glue just so I knew I could play on your turn.
Right. So there was one turn I played 5 cards of glue. So I played 5 cards of glue, and I was able to get, like, you know, you're getting 5 resources plus pocketing, you know, and your pack or your lookout. And so it allows you to have these massive turns. But like you're saying, you're not going to be able to play as on other people's turns as often, but you have these massive turns. Or the other way around, which honestly was earlier in the game, is I had like all 5 different suits with a couple wilds, so I was able to play on your turn, but my turns weren't very big because on my turn, I'm just playing 1 card with maybe 1 behind it. The reason why I love that is you're not stuck in this one way. You're able to react to my hand has this. It's like, it's kind of like the best part of a deck builder for me is I'm able to react what I drew, and I'm never feel stuck. I never feel like, okay, well, I have to play this, and that's the only way it is, and... No, I could play any card in my hand depending on what I want to do. And even if I don't have a bunch in that suit, I'm able to play it. And then I can, you know, those cards will go to the yard if I don't play them, and you might take them, but I can play on your turn if I didn't have, you know, if my deck's kind of spread out that way. Or I can just load up, not even worry about playing on your turn, and I can play on my turn on these big hands. And so again, but what's cool is you're not stuck in that one way for the entire game.
Right.
Every game I've played of this, it was like one early, and then later on in the game, it changed to the other. And I think that's so, and I think you could stick with it if you really wanted to. But in the games I've played, I'm not really worried about that. I'm just trying to get the best car. I'm trying to get the best friend to come into my fort.
I was going
to
say, you kept describing like this engine, and I was like, is there even an engine really in fort and the deck building aspect? Like there is to a degree, but that's only if like, especially in a higher player count, that's only if the other players let that engine really get out of hand
mm-hmm.
because you want to be able to keep taking cards from each other.
Right.
And so I don't like in the way that I kept making you discard cards, I was like, I can't let him just run away with whatever he's doing. So I have to keep discarding stuff.
I think in a way, yes, I think you can take cards away to delay or, you know, prevent some engine.
Yeah.
But being able to, the difference is being able to put stuff into your pack.
Sure.
And being able to put stuff into your lookout, because the lookout helps you on your turn. You can use the cards from
the
your lookout.
Great.
And so I think that is building this engine, because you're slowly building up this process to have more and more, you know, extra payment or, you know, for your friends.
I do agree with that. But I also think that with the cards themselves, mm-hmm. there gets to a point where some of the cards you're ready to get rid of because you can't, like, you only have so many things in the lookout.
Right.
Or you can only have so much in your pack. Or there's only so many times you can build up your fort before you're like, crap, I need more resources.
Yeah.
And so you get to a point where you're like, I don't even care about building a fort right now because I need more stuff. And so your engine's changing.
It is.
It's not a singular focus of get more resources to just get more resources. Mm-hmm. Just go, go, go. Like you gotta, I need this. And now I'm shifting because I need this. Mm-hmm. And so I like that dynamic of constantly bouncing around the table or on the board.
I think at any time you have three main suits kind of like at once, you're like your deck has.
Yeah.
That you've kind of built up. And then, yeah, once you put your kids out, you know, your friends out into the yard, you might have lost two suits. So now you're, you know, if other players took them, obviously.
Sure.
But you could, okay, well, now there's a crown here. I'm going to take that and start building crowns.
Right.
So yeah, it is... The engine, it's not, it doesn't get to this max capacity like a lot of other games. It's this, you're just slowly building like small engines.
That's right.
That just, they ramp up real quick and then they're exhausted and you're done.
You're done.
You're going to something else. And it's just a fascinating little system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just constantly evolving. And I think that's what I love about it so much compared to the normal deck builder. I'm not stuck in... Oh my gosh, I made this terrible 3-card buy early in the game that ruined me.
Now I'm stuck with it, yeah.
That I'm not stuck with. If I don't like a card late game, I could put it in the yard, never play it.
Yeah, who cares?
Like, it doesn't matter. Now, if somebody doesn't take it, though, then it's still stuck in your deck, but you never have to
play.
Yeah,
but there's ways to trash cards, mm-hmm. and there's also this aspect that I like that the resources you're collecting don't have to do with the deck building.
Yeah.
Like, the deck building just happens naturally.
Uh-huh.
And then you're focusing on your resources for either your lookout or your made up rule or for the fort that you're building, whatever it may
right,
be.
Like right.
That's what you're focusing your resources on.
So yeah, you mentioned that. So you have stuff, which includes toys and pizza.
Everything you need.
And you have only like four slots per, plus you can put extra stuff in your pack based on like your fort level.
If you can move stuff over, like you can't just do it for free.
No, it has
You've
to, got you have to
have
play a card. You have to take
but
an action
you're,
to do that.
You're spending a turn mm-hmm. to do that. So you got to decide when that's worth it to you.
Right.
Or what you really want is to do that action on somebody else's turn.
Yeah. There is this constant guessing of, okay, I saw him play that card earlier. Is he interested in playing it again? What suit was it?
Right.
And you can't spend the whole game like calculating all this, but you are.
Oh, yeah. Because it's constantly changing.
It's constantly changing.
How could you possibly
yes, exactly.
keep up with all of it?
But you know, if it's like their best friend or something like that, you can kind of predict. You're like, okay, his best friend's in, you know, a squirt gun or whatever. And so you're thinking about, it's on the back of your mind. You're not constantly trying to
it's
manipulate this,
idea.
All this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're using this stuff to build your fort level. And so you're going up on that fort level. And I think it's so cool as you like, your fort gets more popular and it's big. You get, so the first one is the made-up rule, right? So the first one's a made-up rule.
You want to get that first level of the fort really fast.
You
because
have to.
The made-up rule kind of directs your strategy a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
And so that's very important
right.
to get
you
as quick as possible.
You don't
want to
be doing this late because then it puts you behind the eight ball. You don't know
Well, there's also less choices because if you're the first one to do it, you get to pick which made-up rule you're going to go with.
Yeah. And there's one more per player in the game.
So there's always a choice, but still.
Right. But if you get first pick, I think that's what won me that one game that we played is I got the first perk. So the perk is the second. So once you get to technically it's the third level. When you upgrade a second time, you get a perk and it gives you this like nice, cool ability.
Mm-hmm.
They all do different things, but one of them was allowed me to like recruit a little bit faster. So I had a lot of different suits, but I had this just massive deck. So it was just flowing. Like I just always had like at least two of a card or three of a card. And I could always play on your turn.
Or, so, yeah, everybody's turn.
Yeah, on everybody's turn. Yeah, because I just had so many cards in my deck. It was just so many different suits.
That's right.
So that was a really neat feature there. But anyway, as you obviously go up the scale of the fort, it allows you to put more stuff into your pack, more stuff in your lookout. So you're just, again, that's kind of that engine generally.
That's true.
That you're building is just your fort gets bigger, you get to do more and more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a neat aspect. You know, that's kind of the ramping. Also that, you know, it's getting the game close to the end because when somebody hits that fifth level, you know, that ends the round and ends the game. Now I think you can hit, is it 25 points that ends it?
So 25 points or getting that fifth level in mm-hmm. the fort is what triggers the end game.
And I think the 4-5 is what has ended our games.
Yeah, we have definitely been much more resource focused mm-hmm. than point focused.
Right.
Now, I think in this last game that we tried tonight before recording, I went a little bit more point focused.
You did.
And I think that really helped.
It did.
But you've got to have the right lineup to really make that work. And so that's part of the engine that you're, the one of the little engines that you're talking about is when you're recruiting people, if you can recruit cards that give victory points that are centered around things that you're already good at, then that's just free points that you're getting along the way.
Exactly. But not all the cards you'd have to, and that's the cool thing about it is you have to focus on picking up those friends that do that because they don't all do that. But if you want to do that, you can start picking out, oh, he's getting rid of those. I'll keep stashing them because then you can start to do it on frequent turns.
Well, and the cool thing is like all those that give points, like they don't just give points, like they do something else too.
Yeah.
And so learning how to navigate around that is really important.
And the ones that give points aren't as strong as like collecting resources.
They can be if you stack them.
If you stack.
And that gets back to that one or two suit.
There's a couple
idea.
That work really well together.
Yeah.
But they're not as good like as a single play.
Sure.
They're really not good single plays.
I would agree.
Unless you've have like you've built up a bunch in your pack and this one just
or
scores
your lookout
stuff.
Or whatever, yeah.
So they can be comboed together. And again, you still get the combos of a deck builder in my mind.
Right.
You get the constant deck combos, which is really, really cool. So anyway, the player board or all the player boards are awesome. You have a little like area for your lookout and your pack is, it's kind of recessed into the board with the stuff for your stuff.
Cannot say it enough. Companies that make recessed boards are gems. I love it.
Yep. On the back of the board, it has
your best friend.
And honestly,
you can't really lose your best friend, which is cool.
No, you don't. You don't lose your best friend. And everybody has different ones, but I think they all have the general same ability.
More or less. So like, I mean, they have, yeah.
They do. So both of them do the same thing. So one of them is a wild that gives you two resources and then you could trash a card. The other one is a fort build.
Yep.
But everybody has their own suit of that type.
Yep.
So like whatever, the red player has a red skateboard as their best friend. Where the other players are different. So there is a little variety there. It's like my fort building card is a skateboard where yours is not. And I think that's good. That's a little balance of like, if you had the same as me, then we could just build on the same turn all the time. Now you might be able to anyway, but that is nice. And I think that's very cool. And Alfie has a little backstory on like each of the best friends, which is awesome.
Yeah. I really think it's really well done there.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, that was my rant about the deck building subtleties of this compared to some others as well.
Sure. So I think we have talked a lot about things that we like and talked about some of our favorite mechanics, whether it be the deck building or the drafting through different players and that sort of thing. Is there anything about the gameplay that you don't really care for?
I think in lower player counts, you get into the situation where people can kind of target one player.
Sure.
Especially when like taking cards from their yard, especially in like a two-player game, obviously you have to take from the other player or the middle. And sometimes you can, like if you have cards that trash things, you have to pick that player. So it's just how it is. That did happen in the last game we played, but it was annoying. I was frustrated.
You were.
But I pivoted. I was like, okay, there's no way for me to get rid of this card he keeps doing. So I have to pivot into something that is cheap and efficient. And so I just started taking a lot of the same suit and I started ramping up that way and just having big turns, knowing that you were probably going to discard these one-offs anyway. And so I'm not going to be able to build up a big collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just pivoted off of it and I ended up coming within 4 points. And so I think that's 4 points is a lot in this game, but I felt within four, I did all right. So I pivoted maybe a little late, but again, that's something that is going to definitely happen more in a two player, not a bigger
player. This game really shines at 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I liked it at 2,
mm-hmm.
but that's the idea, right? Like you want to have more kids being cycled.
Mm.
There's more risk too, right? When you get into that 4 player game, like if I have a 5 card hand, and I know I can only play this one card, which means I'm laying out 4 kids.
Yeah.
In a 2-player game, like, who cares? I'm going to lose 1 card.
Right.
But if I'm in a 4-player game,
you might lose all 3 cards.
I might lose most of those kids.
Yeah.
And then what? Like, that's rough.
That is rough.
There was a game we played where one guy couldn't even draft a full 5 cards out of his deck because he had lost so many.
That's crazy.
So.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, that is the risk. Well, and I think that's the inherent, I think in a two-player game, when you, so to make this clear, there's a specific card that helps you build up your fort to the next level.
Sure.
Usually, that's the only card you play, and that's all you get to do.
Yeah.
And everybody has that card. It's usually their best friend, but there's other ones that do it as well.
There's other ones, yeah.
I think that's cool in a bigger player game. You have vulnerability when
exactly.
playing that card, and it makes sense. You're like, I'm upgrading my fort right now, so I'm upgrading my fort. These guys are moving on to another fort while I'm building this.
And you're giving everyone else the opportunity to upgrade their fort too.
That's true. Yeah,
and that's the trickiness of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't really want to be the one to be building your fort until it's the right time.
Right.
You'd rather someone else spend their action to do that so you can keep collecting resources.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tricky give and take.
It is a tricky, because there were multiple times where I'm like, I really want Jared to do it so I can just follow. I just want to follow suit. But it's so tough, you know?
Yep.
But then I think if you're the first and the second person, or level one fort and level two fort, you want to be the first person.
Oh,
you don't
100%.
Want to follow because you're getting those perks and
yep.
the rules.
It's tough.
Later on,
because
it's
you don't want to be chasing either.
Yeah, you don't want to chase.
You want to stay ahead. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoy this game.
Yeah.
The more I talk about it, the more like, and on the way over here tonight before we played, I was so excited. I was like, man, we get to play Fort again. Like,
yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
I think it's cool. And again, there's a little bit of like resource management. You're trying to like control here and you can always, you're always watching what other people have. You're like, okay, they can build a fort right now. Let's see what happens. So it is fascinating. I know we're talking about stuff we didn't like. And so I was just trying
to move right back to things we
didn't like. But I know, I think that the obviously the lower player count, you're getting that, where, you know, I guess the caveat to that is in a larger player count, you are definitely probably going to lose a lot of the cards. You're not going to keep those cards as frequently.
Yeah.
So it
agree.
Is a little bit more fluid. I think it's way more fluid in a 3-4 player game than it is in a 2.
I think that's something to be aware of. I don't know that it's a negative of the game, but the caution of you need to be able to adapt, and you can't get upset when other people take your cards because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you just got to be able to continue to pivot.
See, and maybe that's why I do like this a lot more than other deck builders, because I'm okay with just adapting to what the cards are giving me. I'm like, oh, I like that card. Let me add that to my deck. And then you take a card that I wanted and it's like, it's okay. Like, I'm bummed about it. But in the end, I'll just take something else.
Yeah, usually
like
you'll call me a name and then we'll move on.
Yeah,
and it's
right,
all good.
Exactly. But yes, I think if that bothers you, you're like losing stuff that you're gaining.
If you want to build the engine, I don't know that you're going to enjoy this.
I don't know if you're going to like this as much. I still think it's a very good design, and I think you can have fun regardless.
Because sure.
still, you're building a light deck comparatively.
Yeah.
It's not going to be thick like a 50-card deck when you're done.
No, it's... Yeah.
Like, I think the max I had was because of a double recruit thing. I was like, I maybe had 25 cards.
Yeah.
Where normally I think you're between 10 and 20, 10 and 15.
Yeah, I almost feel like 20 is too thick.
If you really, I think there's a way to pull it off, which I think the deck that I had in one of the games.
I mean, you won, so.
Right. I think just because I had a mass of so many, it worked. But I think in general.
It was also letting you pull from the rest of the table. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting give and take, too.
Right. It is. This game is hard to pinpoint. You know, a defined strategy that's there's not a defined winning strategy at all times. Like, there really is not, because there's so many different actions. I mean, you're talking 15 different technically actions here, and some of them you double up. You know, sometimes you get to do two of them, but still, that's a lot of actions, you know. So, and then you have, you know, modifiers to those. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's there's a lot happening in such a simple game, in my opinion, as far as your turn. You play a suit and you rock it.
And we mentioned it, but I do think it's worth reminding that there is a lot of iconography. And so if you don't like that, then I think that's going to be a harder sell too, because even knowing the game, I still reference the iconography. I'm like, okay, what is that again? But
right.
Again, the cheat sheet is so well done. When you look at the box is not very big. But the cheat sheet is almost the full size of what the box can hold.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take it doesn't get in the way on the table, but it's just really well laid out. I really like it a lot. I'm a big sucker for cheat sheets that work well and they're not overly complicated.
There was very few times that I'm like looking in the rule book for anything. There was one time and it was very clear. It was about the park of like being able to draw off the top, but it was very clearly right there. So it's not like I had to search for it. The only other time was like they have like a little handy dandy in the back of the rule book on the perks and the rules. So those, if you had a question about it, it's in there. Like I hardly ever, once we watched a video, but we read through the rules and there was never, I hardly have any questions. Everything's on the little cheat sheet and you're good.
And the rule book's really easy to follow too.
The rule book's easy to follow. So yeah, there's just not anything.
I have another critique. Okay. It's not a big thing. This is more of a, I wish kind of thing.
Yeah.
I am a little bummed that this game only goes up to 4. I think, I mean, it's a pretty quick game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you go up to 5 or 6. Definitely 5. I don't know about 6. But I just think the higher the player count, the more interaction, the more that you've got. And
Future expansion?
Maybe.
Future expansion.
I think they've moved on, but maybe. But I don't know.
They usually, you know, they stick around games for a bit. But yeah, this is 5 years old now.
They do have an expansion out of Cats and Dogs. It's an interesting little expansion that adds different ways of new scoring abilities and different abilities to be used during the game. So the way dogs work, they get added into your starting hand, starting deck. And they have a different way of, basically, they have you need to have so many of a certain suit or several suits. And then once you've completed that, you play that dog instead of playing a kid that round.
Gotcha.
And then you get to do whatever the dog's ability is. And then they go into your doghouse. And then whoever has the most dogs in their doghouse gets an additional 7 points. And the abilities can be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they're a nice creative added touch. I personally like the dogs. I think they had their place and helped change it up from not just being kids all the time.
I agree.
So I thought that was good. Then the cats, they start in the middle, like the playground kids, and there's certain ways based on what you put in your yard that attract them to you, which I like because that adds to the complexity of deciding.
They're neighborhood cats.
That's right. And you have to decide, am I willing to give up the cards I'm about to put down so I can have that cat in front of me?
Right, because you have to not play it to attract the cat.
But then somebody else could do the same thing and attract the cat away from you.
Yep.
But the cats have like this ongoing ability, and that's how I was trashing all of Ian's cards. And this nasty cat, we'll call it Scratch, destroying his deck. And I loved it. I was like, I don't even like cats, and I'm going to adopt you, and you're going to be my friend, and it's going to be all good because you have made Ian miserable. So
it was quite miserable. I did pivot. I just collected all the dogs to get rid of the cats.
That's right. But it's a fun little expansion.
It's a good expansion. I think I think from what we're both saying about this game is it's better at 3 to 4.
Yes.
I think the expansion, mini expansion is definitely better at 3 to 4. I think it can be too targeted with the cat specifically, but I think the dogs too, it's like kind of a battle to 4, with the dogs at 2. So I think it's a little bit cleaner of an expansion at 3 to 4 anyway.
As soon as you had 2 dogs in your doghouse in our 2-player game, I was just like, I don't care about dogs anymore.
Yeah.
Like I've lost all interest.
You're already behind. So. Yeah. And it takes a whole turn to do
I don't know that I will play with the expansion in a 2-player game again. I think I'll pass.
I think it's good. It's quick and fluid enough that I'll just play it without.
Yeah.
And speaking of, because of that time in this game, it says 20 to 40. I think if you knew what you were doing, you could play it in 40, even at full 4 players. It'd be pushing it. If everybody knew what they were doing.
I think that's a little generous. I definitely think you're getting done in under an hour.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I could get to 40. I think that's a little...
If everybody knew how to play?
Maybe.
With 3 for sure.
I don't know, man. Like I think you and I just have groups that they're so competitive that they think about their turns. So maybe we have a skewed group. I don't know. Uh-huh.
I think, and I'll talk about this in the rating. I think this game is, you can deep dive into the strategy and think
Yep.
But overall, I mean, it is a deck builder. It can be pretty light. I think this game can be really light, and I like that aspect of it. Is that honestly the times I have played this, I've been thinking, okay, what am I trying to build on my turn? Mm-hmm. But I'm not heavily like metagaming this. I'm really not. Like, it's just so cute and fun. I'm not sure. Like, my brain's not killing me over this game. Like, do I want to win? And I'm trying to think of the best way to do that. Yes, but I'm not like just dying over here trying to figure out the best possible combination. I'm like, this one gives me 4 pizzas. This one gives me 2. This one I can't even do. So we're just going to do the 4.
Like, sure. No, that makes
I think
sense.
In general, you only have 5 cards. So there's probably 1 to 2 really quality options.
I would agree with that. No, I think it mostly slows down in deciding what you're going to take. Right. So
yeah, that's fair. But overall, it's not a super heavy game. It's fun. It's light. It has some really good decision making.
I would agree. And I think you can put it in a 30 to 60 minute window, depending on player count.
And they have a complexity rating 2.45. So
maybe. I think that's a little high.
Yeah,
that's on BGG.
2.45, so medium light.
Yeah, because I think, 2.5 is true medium if you're going off their scale.
Right. Medium.
So it'd be medium.
Medium, medium light.
I think it's just medium.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Enough of that. Grading and final thoughts. I'll go first.
All right.
I really like this game.
Mm-hmm.
I have had this game on my wish list for a while. Anna really likes deck builders. So I'm always looking for deck builders that are unique and different.
Has she played it yet?
She's not, actually, which is kind of funny. We just haven't had time with everything else going on. But so I've been wanting to get this game, and I love the theme. I'm totally on board with the theme, and I really like everything this game is trying to do. I really don't have a lot of critiques for it, from a gameplay perspective especially.
You just wish the kids were all different.
Yeah. I think that's a small ask. I'll be honest.
It is a small ask. I don't know why that was done that way, but
I don't either.
But yeah.
That's okay.
It's okay.
It does not keep me from playing the game.
No.
And it was definitely one that will stay in my collection.
I will say really quickly, because it is a problem for you. In the games that I've played, we still have only gotten through maybe a little bit more than half the deck. So
I agree, but we still see multiples of the same kid.
Yeah.
So
there's 4, I think, of each. And so, but again, if you're only seeing, I have not played through the whole deck because the game, I think, does end when the deck runs out.
It does.
So we haven't.
And you're more likely to have that happen in a 4-player game.
Probably, yeah.
I still think there's enough points and things moving around that you're probably going to hit one of the other end games first.
Right.
Anyways, yeah, I'm really happy with this game. This game lived up to all the hype that I put on it as I was trying to get it. And I am happy that I have both the base and the expansion because I really enjoy what Cats and Dogs adds to it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this an 8. I think it's a solid game. I think I'm going to be happy to get it to the table. And I am glad it's in my collection.
There you go. So when you first told me about this game, obviously it's a letter game. So I'm like, okay, I'll probably like it. But I was pleasantly surprised on how much, because again, I go into the deck builder vibe of like, I don't know. I like the game company, but I don't know if I can do a deck builder. Well, I can do this deck builder.
Heyo.
The only, so another recent deck builder that I had played is Moonrakers, which was probably on the top of my list for overall deck builder because it has a little bit different twist like this one. But that's has a little bit more of a traditional thing. You like straight up build your deck. It doesn't really change a lot. And you're adding to it and building this engine that you can, little engine that you're going around. And this one tops it. Absolutely. Knocks it out of the park.
Nice.
Compared to that. I think there's issues that I found with that one, which are consistent with other deck builders. So maybe at some along the line that I find something with this, but I just think this is eliminating everything that, the deck builders that I don't like. And so it's taking that out of the game, which is this very just fluid card play. And you're trying to match, the suits, the trick, take like a matching, in suit type of vibe. And I think that's really, really cool because I like trick taking. I like, card play. I like being able to use cards for different purposes, which you get a lot in this. You don't have to play that card all the time for the same exact thing. You can play it as a suit or whatever. You can play it on other people's turns. Also, being able to play on other, and I know we mentioned this, playing on other people's turns makes games interesting. You're constantly focused on the game. You're not, there's not downtime. Deck builders, there's downtime in deck builders. Not this one. This, you're always able to play on other people's turns. Everybody is at all times.
Yeah, obviously,
if you don't have the card, then you can't. But
not only are you worried about playing a card, but you're also worried about, oh crap, are they going to take my card?
Yeah.
You know, and so you're constantly engaged,
and the
turns go quick.
Engaged.
I love it.
Engagement is key in this for a deck builder, which is just not consistent in deck builders. Is this constant engagement? It's not consistent in a lot of games, a lot of board games. Constant engagement with the players. And I think, I don't know, it just fits the theme so well.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. It adds to the theme.
I'm talking myself into a higher rating that I wanted to do.
Oh, here we go.
But no, I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna give it even a higher score because I don't know if another deck builder would top it. And so if we're talking about my favorite style of game, I think I have to bump it up another half.
Okay.
I was gonna give it an 8.5.
Oh, we're going to a 9.
But I think I'm gonna give it a 9 because it's going to be my favorite of a game type.
That's fair.
Which is a deck build.
Yeah.
I think overall the game, I think it's quick, fun, and people are always engaged.
Sure.
I could play this with about anybody. I think it's easy enough that a lot of my definitely gaming group will easily pick up. And I want to try that with them more. So that engagement, constant engagement, and it's fun and light. And then it's going to be my favorite of a type. I'm going to give it a 9 just because I was going to give it an 8.5.
Nice.
But I think I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. It's my favorite of deck building. And so I think that deserves another half point.
Sure. I think my one concern, and I don't want to make this a negative because I don't know for sure. This is just my anticipation as I play it. I think eventually I'll move to a place where I'm like, okay, I feel like I've gotten what I want out of this game.
Yeah, I think it has, I don't think I could play it like all the time, but I don't like to play deck builders all the time.
That's true.
So I think it has a shelf life if you were just play it all the time, unlike maybe some other deck builders that have a lot more depth and variety. This doesn't. Like you have, I don't know how many cards are in there, but you know, you're looking at not a ton of variety and you're seeing a lot of the same cards over and over again. So yes, there's only 68. Actually, so not a lot. You know, you're seeing a lot of the same, but again, you have those 15 actions that are all variable. So you do see a lot of variability in the cards. Yes, that would be a caveat to all this is that you could wear it out. Maybe there's an expansion that goes up to 5 or 6. I think that would be cool. I do agree with you.
I would love for that. I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
but
I don't know if it would. I think that would definitely, again, the player engagement at all times, I think you wouldn't add too much time necessarily to the game. I think they could definitely do that if they wanted to. Maybe they just want this to be a four-player game. And I think I'm totally okay with that. I don't think I'm not going to knock it for that. And I'm honestly not going to knock it for potentially having a shelf life of just wearing it out and just seeing. I think that is something to be wary of. But for me, I don't know if I would play it that much.
No, that makes
that,
sense.
That it would ever see that because it's just not a game I'm going to. I just desire to play all the time. It's just not going to happen. But again, here an example of a game that I have worn out a lot that has, it's like kind of similar in the way that you might see a lot of the same stuff is Acropolis. And I've played that out like
you have
crazy,
played that an insane amount.
And I still will play it and pick it up and play it over and over again. And that technically you only have like 5 things. You just,
sure. There's
the
only
way
so many
the
ways
order
to
it all works. It's all similar.
Yep.
So maybe this is that, I don't know. I mean, we'll see as it goes on. Maybe when we do our year review next year, I'll tell you if it's still a 9. But
it's the game of the year.
I think I'll still give it that half point. I think I'm going to bump it to 9 just because of that.
And no, I think that's cool. I'm glad you like it that much.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it too.
Well, and we played it for the first time, and then I was like, I have to get this. So I bought one on BGG literally immediately. I was like, this is too good. So
that's awesome.
So overall, yeah, I think it fits the theme. Again, I love a good theme, and I really like this one. I think it's cute. I love the art. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you all for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the 2-top table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Jared.
Ian.
If I had a best friend in this game.
Whoa.
But in real life.
Yeah.
You would be it.
What?
You would never leave my fort.
It's like a weirdly dark compliment that I just got.
Do you want to go build a treehouse?
I don't know if I do anymore.